Lisa, you'll be very pleased to know that I've gone through half of the box of the tea bags. And if I didn't push my voice so hard, I'd probably have a perfect voice by now. So, but you know what? It's okay. 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 2. Let me just give a quick summary of what we've covered so far. When God calls together a group of people and calls them his church, he supplies them with everything they need to do everything that he wants done. In fact, one of the mistakes that we make often in church life is we keep thinking, well, if we could only get this, or if we could only get that, if we could get that piano player, if we could get that, you know, that mad lead guitarist or whatever, if we could get those extra things. But God has given everybody sufficient people and sufficient talents to do what he wants done right now. It just calls for us to be faithful with what he's done to us. And if we're not careful, we end up with this thing called the oxymoron, you know, all those like artificial grass, fresh frozen, all those things, but the divided church. And a church divides when it forgets who it is. And that in the midst of a church that's serving Christ, there's not room for dividers. There's not room for division, for dividers. There's not distractions. There's really only room for the one purpose. That's that ministry of reconciliation. And it has two parts of which are really covered really well in chapter 2. And that is the ministry of the gospel to lost people so that by faith in Jesus Christ, they can have a relationship connected to God and have eternity with him, such as what Ralph did a couple of Thursdays ago. And the ministry of reconciliation for believers to grow and mature in their faith. And it's really important to understand God does not intend for us to come into this as a baby and stay there. Okay? And I want to review, I want to read the first five verses again, though the message today picks up with verse 6. And it says, I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Now, let me say real quickly, this is Paul talking about evangelism. He's not talking about the maturing of the saints. He's talking about this very simple message, Jesus Christ and him crucified, is the critical message that a lost person needs to hear. We need to be careful when we preach the message of the cross that we do not disguise it with clever phrases or fancy speech or some intellect that's to stimulate them, but we allow room for the Spirit of God to do his work. See, we come to faith in God through a clear, simple, powerful gospel. And we come into this relationship as spiritual babies. But God's plan for us is to grow up, to mature in our faith. Now, I've used this illustration multiple times. We had four boys. We couldn't figure the girl thing out, so they went out and got married. And maybe that was the figuring the girl thing out. They all came in as newborns. None of them had instructions tattooed anywhere. And so we kind of learned as we went along, and we loved on them, and we clothed them, and we changed them, and we fed them, mostly Debbie. And then this miraculous thing happened. The more we fed them and got them up and moved around, the more they grew. Can you imagine what my firstborn, Mr. Scott, would look like today if we put him in the crib, kept giving him food, and never took him out? No, I can't imagine. I don't even want to. See, God intends that those who call themselves followers of Christ, would come into this simple presentation of the gospel. It brings conviction to our heart that I need to be right with God, and through the power of that, the blood of Christ, my sins are forgiven. I'm brought into his family, and I'm brought in as a spiritual baby. but God wants me to grow up. And this maturity requires the work of the Holy Spirit in us by taking us beyond the basics and of teaching and teaching us things too deep for us to understand before we were born again. My high school year, I took calculus. And yes, Scott, they taught calculus way back then. I just got to say this. If you haven't had Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 geometry and probably trigonometry, you will not pass calculus. Because you build, you work your way up to it. There are things in the spirituality of us walking, in that spiritual life of us walking with God, that it is impossible for us to understand until we've experienced some other things with God. And we begin this journey of knowing Him, and in the knowing Him, expanding ourselves and putting into practice what He teaches us. Now, as disciples, they experienced something just like this. In John chapter 16, He said to His disciples, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Now, that's a nice way of saying you're not smart enough to get it. You cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Now listen to what Jesus was telling His disciples. Yes, you've been with me all these years, but some of the things that you need to know, you can't handle yet. You are not ready to receive them. Why? Because at this point, they had not received the Holy Spirit yet. And who is our teacher? The Holy Spirit. There are things that you cannot learn the true spiritual meaning of them until you have the Holy Spirit in you. And so He told them that was going to happen. So Paul picks up, and this is very important because I'm setting the stage for verse 6. And let's go ahead and begin reading there. Yet, he said, "I didn't do it with persuasive words, but in demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. Wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passing by, but we speak God's wisdom, a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which has not entered the heart of men, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thought of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things also we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, and yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Just like salvation, maturing our faith requires the Holy Spirit of God. Here's how it works. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and speaks into the lives of the people of God to cause us to grow. And when we put into practice what we learn to exercise, we grow not only in our spirit, but also in our works. Now listen, if we try to practice our faith without the Holy Spirit, we cannot accomplish any spiritual result because we have no spiritual power. In other words, spiritual results require the Holy Spirit. Okay? If we listen to God's word but don't put it into practice, we become fat and lazy Christians who are focused on ourselves instead of God's kingdom. And that exactly describes what was going on in the church at Corinth. Four things I want to share about what the Holy Spirit does to enable us to grow, okay? First of all, He reveals to us the mysteries of God. Now, the word mystery here doesn't mean like a whodunit. It just means something that had never been revealed. And that's when he said, eye has not seen or ear heard nor mind conceived the things that God has planned for those who love Him. And I'll get back to that in a minute. But it's something that is known to God but unknown to you and me. And what the Holy Spirit does is He reveals those to us. And here's what it is not. It is not wisdom put together by the collective thinking of men. It's not human reasoning. God's wisdom was hidden in who? Who revealed God to us? Jesus, right? The perfect representation, the exact representation of Him. So Jesus is the unveiler of all of these mysteries of God. Everything about God we've ever wanted to know is found in Jesus Christ. And so at that appointed time when man is unable to save himself, God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin, so that man might be reconciled and that mysteries of God would be unveiled and people would have this opportunity to know about God. Now what Paul says, this wisdom of God is foolishness to people who don't know Him. They just look like, hey, this is stupid, right? That's why, if it had, and you go back to verse 9 where he said, let me pull this up again. Verse 8. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now listen to this. If those Roman soldiers really understood that Jesus was the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one to whom they would give account to, do you think they would have nailed Him to the cross? Because their eyes were blinded, because they did not have the Spirit in them. They could not see that, okay? Do you think that if the early Roman Empire and the Jews and all those that understand that the church was the bride of Christ, who is God in the flesh, and if you insult His church, if you persecute His church, you're persecuting God and therefore worthy of death, you think they would have done it? But the wisdom of the world had blinded them to the wisdom of God. It's very important because, listen, we try to get the world to buy into spiritual wisdom and they cannot until they're born again. That's why that ministry of reconciliation has two prongs. We evangelize the lost and reach out to the saints to cause them to grow and mature in their faith. Now, I am by no means an accomplished skipper, though I have spent a little bit of time on the water. Here's what you cannot do. You cannot set a course and then walk away from the wheel. Is that not right, Ronnie? Because there's all kinds of things that happen. Sometimes you have to turn a little to port. Port. L-E-F-T. Four letters. Starboard. The right. And then you have to turn a little bit more. And you're doing this constant correction. You can't just point because there's all kinds of factors. The wind and the current and the waves. All those affect the boat while it goes. And so in the church, since we're dealing with these two issues at the same time, evangelism and maturing of the faith, we're constantly adjusting back and forth what we're doing. You can't just say we're only going to evangelize because the mistake there is the saints need to grow up. And you can't just work on the saints because we need to add to the saints. Those they need. So we're jumping back and forth between the simplicity of the message of the cross of Christ and the complexity of what it means to actually walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Between the simplicity of turn your heart, repent, come and give your by faith Jesus Christ, set your heart to follow Him, and the much more complex thing, how do I live for Jesus in an unregenerate world? We're constantly making those things. And what the Holy Spirit does for you to help us grow is He reveals God's mysteries to us. Second, tied to the same way, He also reveals God's purpose to us. Verses 9, where it says, eye has not, listen, what God has in mind is beyond our imagination. Let's just read that verse 9 again. But just as it is written, things which the eye has seen and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, isn't that great? What's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear that? Heaven, right? But I want you to know that this is not primarily about heaven. If you go back to the book of Isaiah where that was written, God was talking to the Israelites about one day when they would walk with him day by day by day, and the righteousness would show up in what they're doing. So hear this. There's certainly an application that we can yet not imagine what it will be like in heaven. Even all the revelation we have in the book of Revelation and other places pale in comparison to how great it's going to actually be. Hey, and just so you know, the images it gives of hell pale in comparison to what it's actually going to be as well. God has a plan that in this day, right here, right now, you and I can experience things that blow our mind and beyond our comprehension simply because he has purposes beyond anything we can accomplish ourselves. God makes these purposes known through the Holy Spirit, who knows and reveals to us the depths of God. Every time I hear that verse where he's in at the end where he talks about who can speak to, you know, to God, I'm thinking, remember Job 38:2? Do you ever know any Job 38:2 people? They go, Job. When's the last time I read Job? Guy says, not that long ago. Who are you to darken my counsel with words without knowledge? In other words, you're talking about stuff you don't have a clue. Now, can you think of anybody? God reveals his purposes to you and me, his plan for you and me, and it's beyond our imagination. He can do in a very short period of time incredibly powerful things to people who are yielded to commit and follow him. Third thing, found in verses 12 and 13, he enables us to speak the truth of God. Here we go. We receive the Spirit of God when we commit our hearts to follow Jesus, right? I'm not sure, right? Okay, I just want to make sure you get that. You don't get the Spirit of God before you commit. He comes afterwards. He works on you before, but he doesn't indwell until after. Then the Holy Spirit freely teaches us all the things of God. That's what Jesus was telling the disciples in John. That's a step two. First, we receive Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes in. Second, he teaches us, right? Third, so now we can teach or speak God's truth to others. I didn't know it, but I gave my life to Jesus. God filled me with the Spirit. His Spirit took the Word of God and put it into my heart so that I can now take this Word that he taught me and teach it to others, right? You're not as strong on those. That right. So you can say, because Pastor, you're setting us up. I really am not planning on it, okay? And what are we teaching? Spiritual thoughts, that which the Spirit has put into us, into spiritual words, words that are from God to other people. God speaks to me, words come into me, come through me, and are spoken to me to other people. Peter said it this way, whoever speaks, I've heard a lot of talking earlier, whoever speaks, it is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do it as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs glory, dominion, forever and ever. And then just to make sure you get it, he says, amen. So what Peter said, what Paul is really saying here, the Spirit of God speaks truth into our life, and then our life takes and speaks Spirit of truth into other lives. Now, it could be that Guy and I are having a conversation, and God could use Guy to speak spiritual truth into my life. I mean, he did use a donkey. And Guy's much better than a donkey. I'll pay for that later. And if I'm going to speak, if I'm going to share with people, let's just ditch our opinions, okay? Let's take the spiritual truth we've received and share the spiritual truth with others. Because who changes people's lives? The Holy Spirit does. Who causes people to repent and come and put their faith in God? The Spirit does. And so we don't need ourselves in this. It goes back to Paul says, I don't want your faith to rest on my wisdom, my knowledge. I want your faith to rest in the power of God. Number four. Oh man, that's a quarter till. Let me go back and spend some more time on three. Number four. The Spirit of God helps us to understand the condition of lost people. He helps us to understand where they are. I want to read verses 14 through 16 again, because I think this is really important. But a natural man does not accept the things of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual praises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. Lost people act lost because they are. Does that make sense? They don't understand the mysteries of God because they have no point of reference to understand them. One of my favorite stories about this comes out of the fourth Star Trek movie. Now, people don't like it because it's one of those Earth environmental things, but let me tell you, there's a cool scene. First, the second one, Spock dies, and the third one, he comes back to life through that Genesis whatever. And the fourth one, they're traveling back in time to go get a whale and bring it back. A whale. We could have given him one. And Spock is sitting there working on calculations, and Bones, a doctor, comes to him, and he said, let's have a philosophical discussion. And he says, about what? And he says, about life and then death and then life again. And Bones gets this disturbed look on his face and he goes, you mean I have to die to have a conversation with you? He says, precisely. You see, if you don't have a point of reference, you can't have a discussion. And lost people without the Spirit of God cannot carry on a spiritual discussion because they have no spirit. And we need to get that into our mind because we keep trying to talk to them like they can understand what we're talking about. Let me give you some examples. How about the issue of the value of life or the issue of abortion? To them, it's not a living being until it comes out. They have no point of reference to go back to the book of Psalms. Before you were born, I formed you in the innermost place. They have no way of understanding this. And we act, we talk to them and turn them off from listening to any conversation they can receive because we're condemning them for a conversation they can't understand. Now, they're guilty. Murder is murder. Whether you understand you're doing it or not. But the point is, you will never convert them by quoting verses to them because they cannot spiritually discern them. It requires the Spirit of God. Same thing with homosexuality, guys. We live in an age where people are being encouraged to pursue whatever makes them happy. Is that not right? Families are busting up. Men are going with men and women with women, old men going with young girls, the teacher and that student that made the news, because they're pursuing that which feels good. Now, the only time it's wrong is when it's something I don't approve of by the culture, right? Isn't that kind of crazy? And so when you come in and say, well, God said it's wrong, they have no point of reference to understand. They have no fear of God in their heart. To be able to understand it. Sexual purity, same thing. Loving your enemies, and so on. People born of God's Spirit can receive spiritual truth and reach out to the lost with the message of the cross. And we can do this because we have the mind of Christ. Now, please don't think that means you're as smart as Jesus. Okay, that's not what it means. To have the mind of Christ means to think and discern with the heart and the intent of Jesus himself. See, when Jesus looks at lost people, he's not looking for ways to condemn them because he has no problem condemning them. He's working through your life and my life with ways to reconcile them and free them from their condemnation. The Bible says Jesus did not come to condemn because people stand condemned already, but he came that they might have life. We need to begin to form this understanding that we have this twofold ministry going on. At one point, we're reaching out to lost people, and we need to reach out with the simplicity of the message of the cross of Christ. We need to help them to understand there is a God and that that God loves them, but that God has a judgment. That judgment brings them to a place where they stand condemned before him, yet he did something for it in producing his son to die on the cross to free them from that sin and reconcile them to himself. And we do that through our story. We tell our story. This is what God has done in me. And here is how you can tell that God has impacted my life. If you don't have that part of it, shame on you. Here's what God has done in me. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace has not been without effect. And at the same time, we need to look at each other. We need to help each other grow up and become mature. The writer of Hebrews at the end of chapter 5 writes and tells him, he said, I have a lot more that I want to say to you, but you are spiritually dull. How'd you like to get that in a letter? And he said, instead, you ought to be teaching others now by this time, but instead, you're still needing to be taught the very basics. And he said, it's time to move on beyond that to maturity. We need to encourage. We're doing these two things all the time. And we have to make the adjustment based upon what we're doing. Are we reaching out to a person that doesn't know Christ? Then we need to come with the simplicity of the message of the gospel. Are we reaching out to a person who has not grown enough or needs to grow more in their faith? Then we need to switch gears and to go something that's much deeper that calls me to pull up my boots and get ready to wade out into the world and live with Christ. Be careful that you don't fall into the trap that the church at Corinth did, thinking that, oh man, I'm in Jesus, everything's okay, and I can pretty much do what I want. I'll show up to the services, but when it comes to actually sacrificing my time, my commitments, my relationships to do what Christ has called me, that's for other people. And that's just a lie. For God wants all of us involved in some manner in that great plan of reconciliation to lost and to the saints, so that we'll all grow up in the unity of the faith. So if you're here today and you've never professed a relationship with Jesus Christ, you never committed your heart to follow him, then here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to repent of your sin and commit your heart to following. You know what he'll do? He'll forgive your sins. Isn't that cool? And then he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then as the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and puts it into your life, he wants you to put it into practice. And as you put it into practice, you're going to grow. Funny thing about inspiration, when Dennis was probably a year old, one of the fun things that Debbie and I did, we'd probably get thrown in jail today for it, but we love to set the boys up, the two older boys in the tub, and then put the video camera on and leave. Because some of the most hilarious things took place. So Scott and Stephen are in there, and Dennis is still all dressed, and he sees his brother in the tub, and he's not in the tub. So he was barely crawling at this time, but he was up over the top of the tub, into the tub with all of his clothes on, because he was inspired to be where his brothers were. Can you see that maybe if we're allowing the Word of God to work through our life and impacting the lives of other people, we might inspire somebody to just jump in, crawl over the top and get in. If we're a follower of Jesus Christ, ask ourselves, am I growing in my understanding of God? Am I understanding better his purposes and how he does it? And am I putting that knowledge into practice and growing in my faith? If not, guess what? Solution is the same. Repent. That means change your mind. And say, God, I'm sorry. And what I commit right now, God, is to begin taking your word, let it wash over my life, and let it be a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And God, I will follow you wherever Jesus take me. I think that it's far too easy to drift into the Corinthian mess, to get this idea in our mind that Christianity is about showing up for service. As we were meeting for prayer earlier, I said, don't be disappointed that there won't be 100 plus people today. It's not that I'm not a man of faith, but you know, you get the people who show for what we call C&E attenders, Christmas, Easter. But do you know that there's enough people in this room right here, right now, to drastically impact this city this week? If we just simply go out and do what it says, simply take God at his word and put it into practice. And I mean, we all know people who need it. We work with them. We shop with them. We walk the streets with them. And they're looking, they need to see it. They need to see his actions in my story, which opened the door to share his story so that they can know him. Let's pray.